It's good to have y'all in church this morning. We always say, you know, you could have been anywhere on this Sunday and you guys decided to get up and come to church with us. And we're just so tickled to have you here. Like Alex said, if you don't know me, my name's Chris Brooks. I've been coming here pretty much ever since we left the high school. When we first started having church here, was it 2014? 2015, yeah, and I did my first Christmas concert with the band in 2015, so I've pretty much been here for the duration since we've been in this building, and it's been such a blessing. So there's lots of talk today. We're gonna get into our identity a little bit. There's lots of talk in the political space and on social media and just in our world today about, you know, certain identity politics and what people identify as. And we're just going to kind of talk about that today, what the world offers and then what Jesus has for us, for our identity. So I titled this message, Let Me See Your ID. So we all have, you know, our driver's license, or maybe you're at work and you got to wear a lanyard. It's got your picture and your name on it or whatever. So pretty much wherever we go, anything we do, we have to show who we are. We have to show our ID for lots of things, you know, to vote and whatever like that. We have to kind of show our ID. So I'd like to get into what ID are we showing the world? Are we putting our identity, putting all our cards in what the world has to offer? Or are we buying into what Jesus says we are and who Jesus says we are? So let's start with the definition. Identity, it's your person's sense of who they are, including your physical traits, your beliefs, values, and how you think about yourself. So it sounds like this is a choice. What we think about ourselves, how we view ourselves, is our identity. It's all wrapped up in who we see ourselves as. Now, the world has lots of labels they can offer us that we can buy into. And it's a myriad of things. It's a collection of different things, our beliefs, our physical traits, you know, things that we can buy into that create our entire identity. But I just want to go through some of the things that, that the world offers. Your physical traits or your occupation, for instance. I know a guy that I worked with for years. He was a salesman, this old guy named Bob. And anytime you called Bob on the phone, hey, Bob, how's it going? Oh, I'm doing all right for an old fat guy. So right off the bat, your first thought about Bob was some old fat guy, because that's how he identified himself. He was a salesman. That was his occupation, and he was some old fat guy. Now that seemed to be how he had his identity wrapped up in, just his physical traits. I do the same thing. I'm just some skinny bald guy, you know, and we can... We can really get lost in that, right? Instead of who Jesus says we are, we can just identify ourselves basically by what we look like and you know, how big we are, how small we are, or even what we do for a living. You know, I'm Chris, I'm an electrician. So when you leave after we meet, is all you're gonna remember me as an electrician? If you introduce yourself to someone, hey, I sell houses, I do real estate for a living. Whenever you leave that person and they think about you, is all they're gonna think about, oh, that person's a real estate agent. When that person's, you know, name comes to mind, is that what you think about? Is their occupation? So there's two. Now there's your nationality, which I would say pretty much everybody in here is pretty much proud to be an American. I know I am. Or your race, you know, where you're from. Are you white, black, brown? Yellow, whatever, you can identify, and your whole identity be wrapped up in where you're from, or, you know, what the color of your skin is. And then your whole life becomes wrapped up in that identity. You know, I'm proud to be an American, and when I present myself to anybody in the world, that's all they know of me, is how proud I am to be from the country that I'm from. And this is not necessarily a bad thing. This isn't necessarily a good list and a bad list. These are just examples of things that the world will offer you that you can wrap your identity up in. And I just want to make sure today that we don't let ourselves get lost in this list of things that the world offers. We just had a recent election. And most of us, leading up to the election and after, were wrapped up in our politics or our political ideology. So when people think of you, when they speak to you, do they only know you as a conservative or as a Republican? Or do they only know you as a liberal or a Democrat? Is that your entire identity that you put forth when you speak to people? Hi, how you doing? This is how I'm voting. And this is how I believe politically. See how silly that can get? And it can make you nasty. A lot of these identities that the world offers are dividing lines. So you're either on this side of the aisle or you're on that side of the aisle. And so often that creates this division and causes us to be mean to one another. Just because somebody thinks a little differently, because their ideology is a little bit different than ours, because their politics aren't the same as ours. So I want to caution us not to let our identity get too wrapped up in who we're voting for and who we hope is going to make the right decisions in Congress or in the White House, because they're just men and women. They're probably going to make bad decisions. So let's make sure our faith and our identity is grounded and wrapped up in the person of Christ and who Jesus is. Not who your politician is, not who your president is. Let's don't put all our faith in Donald Trump. He's just a sinner like the rest of us. He's probably going to mess it up. How about your gender identity? You know, so much of the climate right now is caught up in pronouns and what gender you identify as and your sexual orientation. There was a kid in town that passed away not too long ago, a little while back, and I'm sure he was a great guy. There's lots of good things that'd be said about this kid. But the first thing most of us think about was his sexual orientation, because that was a part of his identity that seemed to be at the forefront. So are we wrapped up in what I think is the most depraved part of ourself, and we put that forward to like, this is who I choose to spend my life with, or who I choose to have bedroom activities with? Is your identity going to be wrapped up in that part of yourself? What pronoun you use? And you see how quickly this can become empty. It can just be very empty. I don't see you can find much meaning deeper than the surface of that. You know, I just recently found out in Canada, you can actually be charged with a crime for calling somebody by the pronoun that they don't choose to be called by. So if you call a he, and he would rather be called a they, you've now committed a hate crime in Canada. It's another reason why I thank God we live in America, because we don't have that type of politics here. So you can see very quickly the empty identities that the world can offer you. And they're not all bad. It's a choice, you know, of each one of these categories. And there's a lot more than just what I put on the screen there that the world can offer you. But we can get so wrapped up in that and forget who we really are. As Christians, who God really created us to be. We are created in the image and the likeness of God. It says right there in Genesis, let's, you know, create man in our image and our likeness. And I believe that wholeheartedly. He created us to be just like him. He is identity. You know, Moses, before the burning bush, asked God, well, who do I tell them you are? Who do I tell them your name is? And God told Moses, I am that I am. That is identity. God is reality. And our identity should be wrapped up and so ingrained with Him that people can't tell where He ends and we begin. Because He is that He is. And He created us in His image and in His likeness. So let's not get caught up in the, you know, in the physical traits and the gender politics and your political stance. And I mean, all these things kind of make up your personality and who you are. But let me see your ID. When you show somebody your ID, when somebody spends time with you and then they're away from you, who do they remember you as? They remember you for your physical traits, your occupation, your sexual orientation? Or are they to remember you as who Jesus says you are? When Jesus gave the Sermon on the Mount, He said, "You are salt. You are light, the light of the world." It doesn't say, "I have called you to be like salt," or "I have called you to be light." As so often in the church we hear, "Oh, I've been called to be salt and light." Pop up that verse. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth." Not "you're called to be like salt." You are the salt of the earth. And then in 14, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill can't be hidden." He didn't call us to be like light. He already said you are light. Show that identity. Live up to that identity. Jesus said you are salt and you are light. We're supposed to live like that because He says that's who we are. How good is that? That's so much better than who I voted for. To have my identity wrapped up in my pronouns. And then I was reading in John 15, and after Jesus washes His disciples' feet, and He tells them that somebody's going to betray Him, He goes on, and then there's this beautiful verse in John 15, and I found a bunch of "you are" statements where He's talking directly to the disciples. Well, as we've chosen Him, and we've chosen to follow Him and learn from Him, that makes us His disciples as well. So I believe a lot of these verses apply directly to us, the church, the followers of Christ. Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in Me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from Me, you can do nothing." So I'm a fruit bearer. I bear the weight of the fruit. I don't produce any fruit. You don't produce any fruit without Him. That's what He said. We abide in Him. He produces the fruit. We're the branches that bear the weight of that fruit. A lot of people get that verse mixed up in the church. Oh, you're supposed to be a good fruit tree and produce much fruit. You're not producing nothing without Him. That was His exact words. Apart from Me, you can do nothing. Abide in Him. Let the vine grow and produce the fruit in you. And all you have to do is bear. It's like bearing a burden or bearing children. You bear that fruit. Hold the weight of that fruit that Christ will produce in your life. So be a fruit bearer, because that's what He called you. He said, "I'm loved. As the Father has loved Me, so have I loved you. Abide in My love." Know that. Wear that as your ID. I am loved. I'm not a piece of trash. I'm not a piece of garbage. I'm not something that just blew up and just happens to be here because chaos came into existence. No, God created me in His image and His likeness. And just as the Father has loved Christ, Christ has loved us. How good is that? I am joyful. Christ said, "These things I have spoken to you, that My joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." So there's no emptiness. And these things that Christ has called us throughout all of John 15, I don't find any emptiness. In the list that the world offers us, it's only skin deep. It's only, you know, surface emptiness. identity. This goes deep. He called us joyful. He spoke these things to us so that we may have joy and that our joy may be full in Him. And that's so much better than what the world has to offer. Lean into that. Show that joy to the world. When people see you, do they remember you as joyful? Or are you kind of a whiner? Kind of a complainer? You know, people always wonder about you because you kind of seem to be down in the dumps. And I understand we go through hard times, guys. You know, I have my ups and downs as well. I'm not always a joyful, happy on the surface person outwardly. I have my ups and downs as well. But we've been called joyful. Jesus told us these things so our joy may be full. So let's lean into that, guys. Let's make sure that we're showing our ID, our identity to the world as Christians, that we are people that are full of joy. I'm His friend. You are my friends, He said, if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you my friends. For all that I've heard from my Father, I have made known to you. He didn't hide anything from us. A good friend will sit with you and talk with you and share their heart with you and tell you what they got going on in their life. Jesus did that for us. He told us about what the kingdom's going to look like. He told us that He's going to prepare us a place. He told us that He's going to fill us with His joy and His peace and His love. He told us that He's going to send a helper that's going to come along and lead us into all truth. That's something a friend does. When you're down and out and you need that help, you have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Jesus Christ, that was there from the foundation, who created this world with us in mind, calls you His friend. Now, if that's not something to hang on your ID and show to the world, hey, the creator of the universe says I'm His friend. That's something you need to show as your identity. Do people remember you as Jesus' friend? Whenever they leave you and they get to spend some time with you, like, wow, that guy really loves Jesus. Jesus must really be his friend. I just want to encourage you guys to live into that. Step into that identity. Know that he loves you. Know that he died for you. And he wants that personal relationship with you. That's what friendship looks like. It's not just some pie in the sky, oh, I hope so kind of relationship. It's a personal one-on-one time you can spend with him. You can walk with him. You can talk with him. He will help you and lead you and guide you. It's an amazing relationship you can have with the Savior of the universe. He saved us, guys. He saved us from death, hell, and the grave. And he calls us his friend. How good is that? I'm chosen. Jesus said, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you that you should go bear fruit, and your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Out of all of creation, all the birds that fly, the things that creep on the ground, the fish in the sea, there's some pretty awesome things in this world that God created. He chose us. He chose us to bear his name. He chose us to bear his fruit. That feels good to me, to know that I've been chosen by the Creator of the universe. Or the Son of God chose me. That whatever I ask in his name, the Father is going to give according to his will. I'm hated by the world. So it's so easy to get wrapped up in these identities that the world offers and look like one of them. That's not what he's called us. He said, if we were of the world would love you as its own. But because you're not of the world, because I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. You think that the world hates Jesus. We're going to be able to follow and abide in him, and they're going to just love us for that. No, if they are of the world, we're going to look different. We're going to be hated by the world because we're going to tell them the truth, that your identity is not wrapped up in who you voted for or who you go to bed with or what you do for a living. And that's what the world wants us to identify as. And when we don't, it kind of rubs people the wrong way. So because they hated him, because we've been chosen by him, the world's going to hate us. But we've been called to love them anyway. Bring them into the fold. I am his witness. And you also will bear witness, because you've been with me from the beginning. Guys, he called us his witness. We've tasted and we've seen that he's good. I've seen in my life how good he can be, and the things that he can bring you out of and the things he can bring you into through him. And I've been called his witness because I have seen. I have no excuse other than to tell the world what I know and what he's shown me. I have no excuse to continue to go back and live in my sin, because he's shown me that he's freed me from that sin. I don't have to live into that. The devil ain't my daddy no more. I'm to bear witness of the good things God's done in my life, of the good things I've seen him do in your life, to bear witness of what he's doing in this church and in this town. We can't just stand by idly silent as the world goes crazy and not bear witness of his goodness. Now, a lot of times we can take, you know, that identity that the world offers, or maybe we're not real happy with ourselves or who we are. And we'll take some of those things that the world offers and we'll put them on. And we'll wear a mask to kind of present yourself to the world as a certain thing that you're hoping people will like, or what you think they want to see out of you. For many years of my life, I wore that mask, trying to impress my friends, trying to be somebody that I wasn't. And it took the love and the power of Christ pretty much to break my heart one day to realize that this isn't who I am. I had to take that mask off and look myself in the mirror and reaffirm to myself that I am a child of God, that I was created to love those that he loves, not to be a cold-hearted person that's just out there destroying people's lives. No, I'm been called to lift up and to love and to come alongside others through the love of Christ. So I just want to encourage you this morning to live into that identity, all those things that he says you are. Roger, can we run through them real quick? I'm a fruit bearer. Boy, y'all are quiet this morning. Back that up. I want y'all to say these things with me like you mean it. This is who Christ says you are. Walking through John 15, when he was speaking to his disciples, directly to them, and I think through them, he's speaking to us this morning. So I want you to say these words at the top, and I want you to believe that. And when you leave here today, I want you to really lean into that identity. Show your ID to the world, the ID that God gave you. Lean into that and show that ID to the world. That way, when you have that interaction with someone and you leave them, they go, wow, that guy's not just a plumber. You know, that guy's a friend of Jesus. So let's go through these. Let's go through these and y'all say them with me. All right. First one. I am a fruit bearer. I am loved. I am joyful. I am his friend. I am chosen. Amen. I'm hated by the world because He chose us. I am His witness. Amen. Let's lean into that this week, guys. Now, I really appreciate everybody coming this morning. Everybody who's listening online. My message was pretty quick. I'm not going to take up a whole lot of your time this morning. But, you know, I just really thank everybody for being here. And again, I want to encourage you, you know, as you leave and you go about your day, think about what ID that you're wearing. Think about who you're showing the world you are.